It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where it is 43 degrees under overcast skies. At the airport, they are showing 89% humidity, northeast winds to 16 miles per hour, and 10 miles of visibility. Look for showers turning to scattered showers today and tonight. Cloudy skies, high near 47 today, low around 41 overnight tonight. East winds gusting to 20, turning to the northeast tonight to 15. And rain is likely for Friday night, and Saturday. Coming up on the Midday Report, the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly has a rather contentious and confusing hearing on tax exemptions. The Senate Finance Committee moved a bill forward. It's on the House floor right now to increase the base student funding and cleanup in Haines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. U.S. Border Patrol is bracing for the arrival of a historically high number of migrants, many of them seeking asylum, hours before Title 42 expires. That's the pandemic-era public health order the Trump and Biden administrations used to deter illegal migration. Tens of thousands of people, including some from as far away as Africa and China, have been gathering at Mexico's border with the U.S.
You have to sit down.
Volunteers have been trying to keep order as they distribute food to the crowd through spaces in the border fence. Volunteer Nina Douglas describes a few of the most urgent needs.
Seeing the need for everything from diapers and baby food to feminine hygiene products, but what folks are most anxious about is cold. What they most want are blankets for warmth, food and water.
Meanwhile, the president of Mexico says he has mobilized troops to the border. NPR's Zeta Peralta reports the leader has given orders not to use force.
Title 42 was a pandemic-era policy that allowed for the immediate expulsion of many migrants, including those seeking asylum. Its end means more migrants have amassed at the U.S. southern border. President Andrés Manuel López Obrador accuses Republican lawmakers of hoping for violence at the border, so he has sent troops to, quote, avoid provocations. We have to be vigilant, he said, to avoid violence. While Title 42 is ending, other restrictions on asylum seekers will take effect. Mexico has agreed to continue taking non-Mexican migrants deported from the U.S. The two countries hope that will discourage further migration. Eira Peralta, NPR News, Mexico City.
The CIA says it is stepping up efforts to deal with sexual misconduct cases at the spy agency. As NPR's Greg Myrie tells us, this comes in the wake of several recent allegations.
At least three women at the CIA have reportedly gone to the House Intelligence Committee this year to allege sexual harassment or assault. A lawyer says they took the action because they were discouraged by the way their agency was handling complaints. A senior CIA official, speaking on condition of anonymity, acknowledges the agency needs to improve its handling of such cases. Quote, "We know we have work to do," said the official, who declined to say how many allegations were currently being investigated. The CIA also announced Dr. Talita Jackson, who's handled sexual misconduct cases for the Navy, will be joining the CIA in a similar role. Greg Myrie, NPR News, Washington.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average closes down 221 points, or more than 0.5%, ending the day at 33,309. The NASDAQ was up 22, S&P was down 7. This is NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
The Kodiak Island Borough is one of the only places in the state that doesn't automatically re-enroll senior citizens and disabled veterans for property tax exemptions. No decisions were made to change that application process, but as KMXT's Brian Venois reports, discussions were tense as the Borough Assembly considered late applications at its meeting last week.
At least 8 seniors and veterans filed late for property tax exemptions this year. The Borough Assembly heard cases one at a time at its meeting on Thursday, but the discussion on what to find good cause for tardy applications and whether the Assembly should approve the appeals was, at times, heated. Michael Dolph was the first senior the Assembly heard from. Dolph said he and his wife took turns caring for each other due to various injuries dating back to November.
We lost track of the drop-dead date and the format that we were supposed to fill out just because we were so focused on taking care of each other, and we were swapping roles back and forth.
Assemblymen Jared Griffin and Larry Ledoux both said they would vote in favor of all the exemptions. Ledoux gave the example that seniors won't be getting any younger and said doing hearings on a case-by-case basis is a waste of time.
I just believe the process is unnecessary, time-consuming, and disrespectful, and I believe that every person meets the qualifications, and to have a black-and-white ordinance that requires them to have to file this kind of thing and go through this kind of process is wrong.
On the other hand, Assemblymember James Turner said he would vote in line with the borough assessor's recommendations, which were different for each individual. Per borough code, mayors usually don't have a vote in the Assembly. However, since Scott Arndt was only appointed mayor earlier in that same meeting, he retained his vote until the next day. Arndt said Assembly members need to base their votes on the rules in place rather than on personal feelings.
These are the rules that are in effect right now. We can work towards changing the rules later, but it is our job to rule on the current laws that are on the books.
The borough assessor recommended against Dolph's exemption because he and his wife were able to run other errands like grocery shopping. The first vote was an even split between the members in attendance, and their exemption failed. That means the Dolphs will not be exempt from property taxes this year. The Assembly voted on 3 more appeals. 2 of those applicants provided good cause for the late paperwork, according to Borough Assembly members who approved their exemptions. However, one was denied. But there was significant confusion on the wording of the motion, the vote, and procedure on the 5th appeal. That was when discussion broke down, and no one was sure how to proceed. Here's Assembly members, as well as the borough clerk, Nova Javier.
With clarification, can we redo the roll call?
No. Can't? No. They can check with the attorneys, the only other thing that the borough attorney.
Usually when we have a motion like this, a secondary motion is appropriate, and you try the first one and see where you'll go with that one.
After a long discussion, the Assembly voted to table its decision on the remaining appeals until July. The goal then is to break the deadlock and have the full Assembly in attendance. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venois.
Rough weather canceled the New Amsterdam's port call in Kodiak yesterday. The New Amsterdam is a more than 2,000-passenger capacity cruise ship operated by Holland America. The vessel was supposed to be the 3rd cruise ship to visit Kodiak this year during the island's busiest cruise season since before the pandemic. Weather didn't stop all cruise ships from getting into Kodiak, though. The 600-passenger Silver Muse docked at Pier 2 on Tuesday after sailing over from Japan. The ship was only in town for a few hours before departing to Seward. Even with Wednesday's cancellation, nearly 2 dozen large and small cruise ships are scheduled to call in Kodiak this year. That's the most since 2019, when 30 cruise ships visited the island. For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. A bill to increase the per-student state funding for public schools has reached the full Senate for a vote. The Senate Finance Committee moved the bill forward on Monday. It would increase the base student allocation by $680 starting in July. Anchorage Democratic Senator Lukey Tobin asked the committee to support it.
After 99 days of public testimony, hearings, and meetings, it is very clear to us that the Alaska public education system is struggling, and we need to do something drastic. This bill does just that.
The Senate Finance Committee added two amendments to the bill. The first increases monthly room and board stipends for students who attend residential schools. The second increases school transportation funding by about $8 million. Districts across the state have faced bus driver shortages and rising fuel costs. The House version of the student funding bill remains in the House Finance Committee. If the Senate passes its bill, it will go to the House next. And that bill is on the Senate floor today, facing amendments. Volunteers are going around Haines beaches to pick up trash and collect data. The trash will go to the dump, but as KHNS's Alan DePresimil reports, the data will inform international agreements.
Tara is your group leader.
Okay. It's 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning, and about 20 volunteers have gathered into Haines Harbor. They will soon board two fishing boats and four skiffs and head across the canal to the Cathaheen Beach. They are bringing maps, trash bags, and data sheets.
I think this is the biggest cleanup that Haines has held for a while.
Tracy Wyrack Cassidy works at the Tuckshanook Watershed Council.
They went last year, and they got quite a bit, but they weren't able to haul it all back. Sounds like there's a bunch of tires and large debris.
Wyrack Cassidy has organized this year's marine debris cleanup, and she explains the plan.
We'll spend 2 days here at the Cathaheen, and then all next week we'll be doing hiking beaches, and then we have an excursion out to the Chilkat Islands to also clean up out there.
Staff from the nonprofit Ocean Conservancy have come to town to assist with the cleanup. The organization is partnering with local groups all over the world to clean up beaches and gather data on coastal pollution. Their website claims over 17 million people have participated in the effort and collected over 350 million pounds of trash since the program started 35 years ago. That's 6,000 humpback whales worth of garbage. Sarah Weller manages the cleanup program at Ocean Conservancy. She has come from Washington, D.C. to help out and gather data. She wants to record the type of debris they are finding.
So everything from like item count data, like how many plastic beverage bottles, to total weights of things like fishing debris, fishing gear, fishing nets.
Weller travels to many cleanup events. She says she sees different trash at different places.
So globally, it's interesting. It's a lot of consumer single-use items, things like cigarette butts, food wrappers, plastic food containers. Here it's a bit different, though. It's debris that's kind of been out in the water for a while. It's more fishing and aquaculture debris. So we're excited to be doing cleanups just here in Alaska to see what sort of trends are actually happening here regionally and how that differs to like the global and even the lower 48 perspective.
The volunteers receive data sheets. On it, they record the number and weight of items collected. There are entries for buoys, buckets, and bottle caps, and also for fishnets, footwear, foam insulation, and food wrappers. This information will be entered in a global database of coastal garbage. The database informs international efforts to minimize our environmental impact. Last year, the United Nations adopted a resolution to end plastic pollution.
The data are available to anyone, and I know the UN Environment Program does utilize the data from our system.
With the data in hand, environmental advocates can make a case for reducing single-use items or phase out certain kinds of plastics.
Styrofoam, that's a really problematic type of plastic that we're really trying to reduce. It gets out into the environment and it breaks down into really, really small foam balls.
Weller says plastics keep breaking down into ever smaller pieces.
And they can become basically unseeable to the naked eye, but the molecules still persist in the environment for, you know, researchers don't know how long. So that's what's really scary and kind of where the science is looking at right now is what happens when those really, really small microplastics are in the environment and enter the food chain.
Weller says her organization advocates for use of material that degrade more readily in the case of packaging. For fishing gear, there is not yet a good alternative to plastics. She says the key is to prevent the gear from becoming garbage in the first place, and making sure there are facilities for proper disposal or recycling of old nets. The volunteers at the Cathaheen Beach were covering a 3-mile stretch of coast. By the end of the afternoon, they had collected enough debris to fill a dump truck. They will be at it again in the morning. For KHNS, I'm Alan DePremenil.
Across Alaska, parents are struggling to find childcare. This is especially true in rural Alaska, where the lack of childcare is leaving parents with few alternatives. Some parents are having to skip work or cut their hours. Some are even choosing to leave their communities in search of other options. And there are also barriers for childcare providers who want to work in rural Alaska. KOTZ's Desiree Hagen has this report.
Laura Norton Cruz has worked on public health projects in the Northwest Arctic on and off for more than a decade. She co-produced the documentary At Home in Home, Rural Alaska in Crisis, which was released last month. The film, produced earlier this year, is set in Kotzebue. Norton Cruz says Kotzebue, like the majority of Alaska, is a childcare desert.
Yeah, childcare desert is when there is a greater need for childcare than there are childcare centers available to provide that care or access to it. There's also difficulties in affordability.
A 2021 report from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce found that over 61% of Alaskans live in areas without sufficient childcare. That same report found that more than 3 out of 4 parents missed work during the 3-month study due to lack of childcare. Norton Cruz says within the last year, communities from Utqiagvik to Cordova have lost childcare centers, and providers have struggled to open new facilities.
There's a lot of barriers related to cost, to startup, to infrastructure, to workforce training, to being able to pay enough to be able to attract workers. I mean, these issues are affecting urban Alaska too, Fairbanks, Anchorage, Juneau. You know, all these places are struggling, but even more so in rural communities.
One of the main barriers in rural communities is how hard it is for providers to get licensed with the state. Norton Cruz says state licensure ensures childcare providers have high standards of quality and care. And it's also important for low-income families who receive childcare assistance.
But if you have a licensed childcare center, they can accept childcare assistance.
For families receiving assistance, a state-licensed facility is their only option to avoid paying out of pocket. Norton Cruz says a licensed facility is also important for foster children. Without access to licensed care, many foster children in the Kotzebue region under 5 are forced to leave, which separates them from their community and culture. Kotzebue has not had a state-licensed child care center since the last facility closed over a decade ago. Kotzebue residents Tracy and Bailey Schaefer have been working to establish a licensed facility in their free time.
So we both have other jobs. Bailey's leaving her job. I am not leaving my job. But so, I have a whole nother full-time life job.
The mother-daughter team hope to get certified by this summer. They are encountering challenges in licensure. Tracy says a one-size-fits-all model doesn't work in rural Alaska.
It is an amazing amount of paperwork that has to be submitted, and in many cases...
She says there are several hurdles in the rigorous process and no compensation for rural residents interested in obtaining a license. Paperwork and background checks can take several weeks. The Schaefers need to get their home approved from a statewide fire marshal located in Anchorage. And in order to get certified, they need to be trained at a licensed facility. For Bailey, this can mean traveling to Anchorage for extended periods of time. In a scene from the documentary, Tracy talks about the financial and emotional toll of traveling back and forth.
It's very expensive to stay and can be fairly overwhelming. You know, we live in a place where butter costs 10 bucks, like a pound. So it's, you know, you can't ask someone to work for free.
Norton Cruz says the lack of childcare is not just affecting parents. According to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Alaska's childcare shortage costs the state $165 million per year. She says for Kotzebue, it's not only resulting in workforce vacancies at entry-level jobs.
Attorneys, doctors, pharmacists, nurses, teachers have all had to leave the region because they haven't been able to find reliable childcare.
Norton Cruz believes one solution is more support for childcare from policymakers. She says the childcare grant program, the state-funded program that subsidizes wages for licensed facilities, hasn't increased for 10 years.
Workers are not making livable wages, and
the solution is that there needs to be public investment.
Still, Norton Cruz says she's hopeful as the issue gains more attention. In early April, the Dunleavy administration established a child care task force. There are two bills in the legislature, HB 89 and HB 46, which, if passed, would support state funding for child care facilities. In Kotzebue, I'm Desiree Hagen.
Jobless claims hit a milestone. I'm Novosafa with Marketplace Minute. Initial claims for unemployment benefits hit a one-and-a-half-year high last week, rising to 264,000. That still suggests a healthy job market, though one that appears to be cooling after the Federal Reserve's aggressive interest rate hikes. Inflation at the wholesale level reached a two-and-a-half-year low. The Labor Department's Producer Price Index in April registered a 2.3% annual gain. Declining wholesale inflation suggests consumer price increases could moderate further in the months to come. PacWest Bank put up more collateral last week in order to increase its borrowing capacity at the Federal Reserve. The regional bank said deposits plunged nearly 10%. I'm Novosafa with a Marketplace Minute.
Marketplace Minute is supported by JLL, providing commercial real estate investment and technology. See a brighter way.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the 11th day of May, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 5:54. It will set again at 10:18. That will give us 16 hours and 24 minutes of glorious daylight, a gain of 4 minutes and 18 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 66 degrees set in 2014, and our record low was 27 set in 1964. Currently, right between that, 43 degrees, overcast skies, northeast winds to 15 miles per hour and 10 miles of visibility at the airport. The Weather Service is calling for showers turning to scattered showers tonight. High near 47 today with east winds to 10, gusting to 20. Overnight low around 41 with northeast winds to 15. And look for rain to start up again on Friday and continue through Friday night and into Saturday. Looking at our local tides, we have a low tide coming up that will happen at 1:25 this afternoon here on the east side and be -4/10. That'll be followed by a high tide at 8:21 this evening of 6 feet. Over on the west side, your low tide will happen at 1:46 this afternoon and be -1/10. Your next high tide will be at 8:32 p.m. and be 10.7 feet in Larsen Bay. Mariners, here is your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanak out to 15 nautical miles offshore. Small craft advisory through Friday on our east side. Northeast 20 today, seas to 9 feet. Northeast 25 tonight, seas to 8 feet. And north 30 tomorrow, seas to 11 feet. And then on Friday night, those winds are going to turn around to the northeast to 30 knots and seas come up to 11 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, small craft advisory through tonight. Northeast 25 today, seas to 8 feet. Northeast 25 tonight, too, and seas to 8 feet. And for tomorrow, north 20, seas to 7 feet. Coming around to the northeast on Friday night, seas to 8 feet on Friday night in the Shelikof. The Kodiak City Council will be holding a regular meeting tonight. That meeting will happen at 7:30 p.m. and be held in the Kodiak Public Library. The meeting is open to the public and will also be broadcast right here on KMXT on 100.1 FM. It will also be web-streamed, and that link and meeting packets are available on the Kodiak City of website. If you have any questions, contact the city clerk at 907-486-8636. Also tonight, the Kodiak Island Borough will be having a work session in the assembly chambers at 6:30 p.m. Tomorrow, the Planning and Zoning Commission will be having a regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. And next Thursday, the Assembly will be having its regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. All these meetings are open to the public, and meeting packets for that those are available on the Kodiak Island Borough website. Contact the Borough Clerk's Office with any questions at 907-486-9310. Mattson has been hosting the Kodiak Cleanup Giveaway. They're giving away $2,500 in prizes just for people who are cleaning up Kodiak to encourage Kodiak residents to clean up the Emerald Isle. It's their third consecutive year. To enter, all you have to do is upload a photo of yourself cleaning up Kodiak. And you do that at www.mattsoncleanupgiveaway.com/Kodiak. And you have two more days to do that. You have to do that by Saturday. Winners will be selected at random, notified by email, and announced on Facebook. There will be 20 winners, and each will receive a $125 Loyal to Local gift card from the Chamber of Commerce, redeemable at a wide variety of area businesses. For more information, visit the Chamber's website at www.kodiakchamber.org. But again, you need to download your picture to www.mattsoncleanupgiveaway.com/Kodiak. On Saturday at the Kodiak College's Benny Benson Building, you can meet Marissa Trombley and her bird friend, Breland the Peregrine Falcon. She's from the Alaska Bird Treatment and Learning Center, and she has all kinds of things to teach us about her amazing feathered friend and birds in general. The whole thing starts Saturday at 10:30 in the morning, running through 11:45. They will be having a bird feeder building presentation. And then starting at 12 noon, the virtual presentation with Marissa and Breland with a Q&A following. Again, that's Saturday, Kodiak College's Benny Benson Building. The whole thing starts at 10:30 in the morning. Notice is hereby given. There will be a Board of Education regular meeting on Monday. That starts at 6:30 p.m. and it will be held in the District Services Conference Room, which is number F140 in the old high school wing. The meeting will also be web-streamed through BlueJeans, and meeting login information is posted on the Kodiak Island Borough School District's website. Look under the Board of Education tab. For more information, contact the Secretary of the Board of Education at 907-486-7566. Next Tuesday, the KMXT Board of Directors will be holding their next regular meeting. That happens at 6 p.m. in the KMXT building at 620 Egan Way, here up next to the high school. The meeting is open to the public, and members are always encouraged to attend. For more information, give us a call at the station at 907-486-3181. But again, that's next Tuesday at 6 p.m. here at the station. The Lutik Museum is renovating its gallery, and they've been working hard to plan their new exhibits. And as part of that, they are having their third and final community conversation about how that gallery should look. It'll be facilitated by Exhibit AK. Come to share your ideas and give input on the design. That's happening next Tuesday, 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Lutik Museum, if you'd like to comment on that. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Suicide is a reality many in our community have to live with, but what do you know about it and how can you talk about it? Learn how to support each other's mental health by joining Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center for a free presentation, Talk Saves Lives. That's happening next Wednesday, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center. It's free and open to the public. You can email them at outreach@kwrcc.org or call them on the phone at 907-486-6171. Have you ever wondered about your family's history? The Kodiak History Museum, Kodiak Public Library, and St. Herman's Theological Seminary Archives have the event for you. Join them next Thursday from 5:30 to 7 p.m. for a genealogy event at the Kodiak Public Library. This free event will teach you how to start your genealogical journey and show you, with demonstrations, all the resources available to you. For more information, call the Kodiak History Museum at 907-486-5920.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.